if Richard Nixon had been an innocent man, he would be in office today. Everyone knows that if Richard Nixon had been an honest man, he would be in exactly the same position as he is today. He would be out of office simply because a scandal, a rumor, cannot be definitely disproved. People can fabricate and make and do everything they like, and they can prove a rumor. Yes, there is no trouble in doing that. Even when you come to tapes, many of our listeners there will just take a short, small little instance there. Many listeners, will try another cigarette. As I said before, no drinks, no drinks at all. But cigarettes seem to be the thing to do lately. Not to steady the nerves, but then I'm not used to broadcasting for such a long time on news. The time now just, as I would say, normally time and time at 2:36, 36 minutes after 2 o'clock. But there you are. One lad again I entrusted with practically my life. Yes, all of these people in this station, I did entrust what amounted to with my life. And the fact that the station here, this house, contained papers which were very, very precious to me. They covered my whole background. Just not to them. Well, as I was saying, all we have to do is take an instance of tape manufacture. How to manufacture a tape. Any listeners, nighttime programs there. Sometimes when I am away from the station here at night, and we've had to go out to several receptions and things like that, which needed attending to promote the station. Sometimes they go on beyond midnight. As you know, the station closes at midnight. So a tape was done up. A tape with Bula Bula on it, and my saying good night, and signing off, and then you would have heard the national anthem. Some people would have thought, there, I am signing off. Well, not really. I am away from the station while the tape is playing away my voice, signing off. A couple of times I've tuned into it myself, just to ensure that the quality was proper, and that it did sound actually live. Well, there you are, that's how you do tape recordings. And in a sense, it wasn't done to fool people, no. It was done so that if I was away from this station, that things would continue, and that I could sign off in comfort, and that if business had to be attended to on behalf of the station elsewhere, that I could do it and not have to make a mad dash back and close down out of breath. Yes, that's how you manufacture things. Well, that's an ordinary, straightforward thing, to sign off a station. When you come to manufacturing tapes with scurrilous accusations on them, and you have people coming along who are prepared to back it up, whether for glory or for money or for what, it is hard to know. No doubt some of the people involved would do it just for money, reminding me of the Lord himself and Judas. 30 pieces of silver. Granted, we cannot live without money. It is very difficult. You'll probably see people about these streets of the city here begging and scrounging in dustbins and things like that to keep alive. Some of them would do a great deal for money, just to get hold of money. And who would blame them? Would you blame them? No, I would not. Some of them have principle. They would not do underhanded things for money. There you are. But life today is very, very commercialized. Unfortunately, I probably live back in an older age where principles do matter. I suppose that's one reason for having no regard for money. For a businessman to run a station, I would not do. This station could never be a profitable venture. Because, as you probably know there, I take you back to last Easter, the newspaper somehow got wind that we had 500 Easter eggs to give away to needy causes, and that appeared in the Independent, yes. Well, we did have roughly 500 Easter eggs to give away. The only unfortunate part, or well, I won't call it unfortunate, the only happening there was the fact that everyone coming along, and there were callers and callers from as far afield as Drogheda and Sallynoggin, Madonna House and elsewhere, hospitals and orphanages within the city and outside the city. All of them were calling priests and nuns. Right, I have beautiful letters of thanks from them all. They all called to Radio Dublin, expecting that they were the only one and that they would like some of these eggs, usually 400 or 500 eggs, because they thought naturally that they were the only one who had responded and that knew of this in newspapers. Well, now, we soon discovered that the number of callers for Easter eggs exceeded the number of Easter eggs. So, myself and DJ Silvery had to take ourselves out. 2 quins worth in Crumlin, and have a chat with the manager there. Yes, he had several hundred pounds worth of Easter eggs, so all we could do was tell him to load everything in that shop into boxes and we would take the lot. And of course we paid for them. A store opposite Quinsworth, yes, we went in there and bought what we could with what money we had. We sent some of our ex-staff into town, gave them what money was available and said, buy Easter eggs, just buy them. It didn't matter where you got them, what you paid for them. But you go, you buy Easter eggs, because there are people here who think that we have more to give away. They're for a needy cause. So what do? You don't tell them no. You don't turn them away from the door. If there is any money at all within the station. Station staff wages did not matter that week. Right, they were paid, granted. But there was some money available. Anything that was available, right. All you do is you fill up the demand. Satisfy the demand, and then if you've something left, that's okay. If you can't satisfy the demand, you borrow and you make sure you satisfy all the people involved. Which we did, yes we did. Father Duggan listening down there in Sheriff Street at the moment. Granted, a very tough area of the city, an area in which I have worked, an area which some of our ex-staff know I have worked in, T&C Martins in the North Wall, yes. There are letters there going back that far. T&C Martins is out of existence for some considerable time, back in the 1950s, I think, late 50s. Well, there you are. I did work down in that district. I know what it's like. I know it's tough. Some of you young lads down there, yes, you go around with little hardened bars and chains. I know it is dangerous going around there in a car or on foot. But that's life down there. It's a case of the fittest surviving. But then Father Duggan is a very tough man down there. Yes, Father. I do know you're listening to that. But you do your best down in an area in which you're known and in which you're respected. All I can say is I do my best in an area in which I am known and which I do hope I am respected. There again, as I said, it was rumours and rumours. How does one disprove them? If someone can come up with an idea, I have puzzled it out over the week. I have thought and thought for hours on end. But, as always, I come up with the same conclusion. You cannot disprove rumours, because if you do, more rumours will start. So all I would say to our present staff who are working here, and to all who intend at any stage in joining in with Radio Dublin. You have heard those rumours. Right, I have broadcast them on the airwaves. That's why you've heard them, if you haven't heard them floating around the district. Malicious. Again, I'll repeat them. The allegations are that there was child molesting happening within Radio Dublin sometime within the past. That's the allegation. Now, if you believe that there is one grain of truth in that, keep away from Radio Dublin, please, for your own sake. Just keep away from this station. That appeal goes out also to mothers. One young girl, I just named out a string of telephones there the other day, and one young mother was on the phone to me about her daughter being here answering the phone. She agreed that there was nothing happening. She had really questioned or interrogated her daughter to the extent that she was practically crying. She knew there was nothing going on here, and she wanted her to return. And all I could say was, would you ensure that when your daughter is coming up here, you tell her the facts and that you are 100% sure that your daughter and your son, to every mother out there, is quite safe in this station. If you have any vague doubts, the slightest little doubts, please, please, would you keep them away? Keep them away. If you're afraid of getting involved in a scandal, well, the best way out is keep away from Radio Dublin. And that's about all I can say in news here today. News, as I said, has gone on far, far longer than I should have thought. 46 minutes past 2 o'clock and news did start at 1:30. I have never in my life talked so long. I made one speech, I think, in a lifetime in Trinity College, and it lasted less than 5 minutes, and here I am for hours. And now I have one person so terribly loyal to me. One person who trusts me 100%. And the only reason I say 100% is that this person, right before she did not want it known, but this young girl has a young daughter of 6 years of age. This girl can entrust me in the house with that young child and leave and go shopping or go where she likes and return to that house with no worries. For a mother to do that, it needs some trust, I can tell you. And for that type of trust, I am more than grateful. I am willing to trust and lay my life in that girl's hands. Now, if we could have just a short few words with her. Sylvia, would you like to say something about this situation over this past?
Well, all I can say, Eamon, is that myself, I've gone around and investigated the whole thing undercover, as everybody knows, with a reporter from one of the evening papers, and I found absolutely nothing, and I'm willing to stand by the station and its name right through till the end, and that's all I've got to say on that.
Sylvia, you will recall, some of you are out there wondering about the whistles, though we don't have two sets of headphones, I'm afraid. They were wondering about that whistles. Again, I would ask Sylvia to recall back to the Sunday we arrived home here, came to the station, and Sylvia, you did leave very abruptly.
Yes, I actually walked out, and undercover as well, and all I left as a suggestion of my loyalty, I took my mail, my records, and all I left on the wall was my posters. Posters of myself. And I knew that by doing this, that Eamon would know exactly what I was doing, and I think that within 5 minutes he'd gathered exactly what I was doing. As for all these allegations, as far as I'm concerned, it was all made up in an attempt to close down Radio Dublin, and it's not going to happen, I'm afraid.
Yes, well, that was actually the situation on Sunday night. Sylvia and Miss Catherine O'Kelly, or Mrs. Catherine Dillon, whichever way you like to look at it, I don't know which, was here. It was known, of course, that she was attached to this news station. Sylvia could not, or dared not, make contact with me away from her to explain what she was doing. All she could do was walk out on me, leave those posters on the wall, and hope that I would get the message from them. Yes, within a couple of minutes, I knew what DJ Sylvia was doing. She was not walking out on this station. She was going to work in the background. She was going to have to say terrible things about me. Yes, I do know that, just to convince other people that she was working with them. For her support, there I am most grateful to find that one person has been so terribly loyal. I should mention others. Declan McDonough, who comes under the name of John Everest here on the breakfast show. Declan, so terribly loyal. He had been here during the week. He had heard these allegations thrown about. He was one of the persons who had been persuaded to sign a resignation form. And he sat back, thought about it, and came back and is on the Radio Dublin airwaves. To people like that, what can I say? Thanks seems so terribly small. It's like the others who have gone out and said they will investigate and dig up and everything else and find out the truth. And I have said to them, I am the only one who knows the truth. But when you find out the actual truth, the truth, not the manufactured truth or something like that, when you get the actual truth, what do you do? you come along to me and you tell me two tiny little words, I'm sorry. What does that do for this station? Does anybody realise what has been done to your radio, Dublin? Certainly I do. Sylvia realises. And to think that two little words can wipe all of this clean. Nothing can wipe it clean. This mud will stick with this station for a long, long time. All I do hope that will stick with this station also is our listeners. And that people out there, reporters, people with integrity, not people within the other station going out to investigate for their own purposes, for monetary gain as such. People with integrity who will investigate to find the truth, that they will delve into all of this and dig out the truth and come along to me or to Sylvia with it. That's what I am asking. Sylvia, were there any further developments at all during that week, or what exactly did happen?
Well, I spoke to people within and people that were, what would you say, people that actually went along with the, I'd call it a conspiracy to close down Radio Dublin. And from the information there, definitely it was a conspiracy to close down Radio Dublin. But I'm afraid, once again, it just isn't going to happen.
Yes, quite right there. And I will just take one small incident there. The manufacturer of the tape. Yes, I've had to think very carefully of two young girls about 18 years of age who are paid to actually manufacture a tape. I've had to think carefully that if I name them out over the airways, that their whole careers, their lives in Inchicore and everything would be ruined. And that's not the purpose of a radio station. It should not do such a thing. But Sylvia herself did visit one of these houses. Wanting the truth, wanting one of these girls with her mother down to this station. Well, Sylvia, what was the reaction there?
Well, all I was told was, you cannot prove it. That's basically in one of the houses. The other girl that I called to, her mother wasn't there, but her brother was there, and I told him what I wanted. I wanted them up in the studio to verify the whole thing, and I was told that she would be up later on, but obviously these people know what's happened. And they don't want to come near the station. Well, that's up to them. They have a conscience. They have to live with it. That's all I've got to say.
And quite right. Consciences, if they are clear, one can go to sleep and one can rest. Many of the people out there, I'm sure, cannot. Even people like John Paul or John O'Brien, whatever name you would like to call him. Well and good, he may play away in the chariot there and seem as happy as could be. But John, when you come home and go to bed, can you honestly say that you sleep in comfort? Myself, I can go off to bed as I did in the early hours of this morning because I knew I would need some rest before I settle into this news. So terribly involved, I had to stick to facts and make sure that if I incriminated or said something about someone, that it was straight facts and not hearsay and things like that. There, I went to bed at about 7 o'clock this morning, and I got up shortly after 12. There I slept, and slept in comfort. My conscience at least is clear. I did explain to DJ Sylvie that if she thought there was one small grain of truth in the allegations, to get away from this station, because when mud is thrown it sticks to everyone. And I'll say again that to the present staff who are inside listening, the radio turned up there, and to everyone involved with this radio station. If you believe or even think that there might be something in the background there, if you think, right, there's no smoke without a little bit of fire, please, please, would you keep away from Radio Dublin? Don't even listen to it. Tune off to RTE. Tune into that Big D if you like. But if you do support us, if you can believe that there was nothing in it, right, I do understand myself that it is possible to manufacture and manufacture proof. People may within time turn up with proof one way or the other. I could settle out myself and prove in the opposite direction. People working against this station, particularly the one gentleman I have named who is afraid to come near this station, who, as I said, made two telephone calls to this station during the week. One to my wife, as a reporter from London, ringing from London, saying that if we published or broadcast any more scurrilous remarks on the radio, that he would have it broadcast or published in all of the papers in England and Ireland and would have this station closed down. Later on that night, that same gentleman came on to me to say, "Eamon, you don't think I would do such a thing. Eamon, I wouldn't do that against you. Right, we had arguments in the past. We didn't agree on things, but I wouldn't do that against you. But when Radio Dublin is attacked in such a way, we take precautions, as always. As I have told one lad on the phone last night when he asked me, was he being taped? Yes, everyone from that station over there is taped as they phone in here. All phone calls are taped. To ensure just one thing, not to broadcast them, but to be able to go along to people afterwards and say, you said this. If they say different, that is why we tape record any of those unusual phone calls. Our listeners' calls are quite in order. They're not taped. They're taken in, they're written down, their requests, and we play them when we can, if we have the right record, right. But when we're trying to be set up, that is what we do. We record the telephone calls. We store them tapes away. And anyone who wants to dispute what he or she said, right, there you are. We play it back to you. That particular incident there, the other night, Mr. Frank Murray on the phone to me, yes, we rebroadcast it around the room. There were about 10 or 12 people in the studio at that time, including my wife. And without listening for more than a couple of minutes, she did say, yes, that's the same gentleman who was on to me. He said he was a journalist. Some journalist, Mr. Murray. The only man whom I would like to see really taken down a peg on this whole setup. The only one with the mind to organise such items. If I quickly run down them again. The transmitter destroyed. The standby transmitter destroyed. Record decks not working. Two tape decks not working. The microphone not working. All our letterheads, commercials, tapes, car radio stickers, that's the Radio Dublin car stickers, taken into a wheelbarrow in the back garden and burnt. Malicious gossip and scandal spread about this district. By all means, do all of these things. Leave this station, certainly. But why not leave before I go on holidays? Why not have the decency to wait until I return from holidays? Wait just one day. Then everybody leave. Why not face the music? Come up and talk with me. To date, all of this week, nobody has come up. Granted, I have promoted this news for some little time, that there would be news on this station, major news. And, of course, three of the staff arrived along last night. I took it for granted they were here. Yes, they did apologise to an extent. They were sorry they didn't know. They heard the allegations. They ran, but they did not say this and that and the other about me. But, as some of the station staff here have said to me, attempts will be made for me to soften up the news. Well, I'm afraid that coming up at the last hour with apologies, that does not change the news. All I would have expected would have been that people would be here waiting on me. Or if they hadn't the time, why not drop back later in the night and have a word and say something and say they are leaving, as they are quite entitled to do. Why leave it until a Saturday night and make such serious attempts to have the Radio Dublin aerial taken down? Many, many people around the district will verify that the extremes we've had to go through in persuasion and more persuasion to leave that aerial for the short little time that is needed to get major news out on this station. Why could all of those staff not have waited? Why did I leave it until last night? There was a whole week to come along to me and talk. I am 5'7" or 5'8". I am 40 years of age. At the moment I feel about 60. Perhaps I do look it. I have had so little sleep in the past week that anything would knock me over, blow, and I would fall down. So I couldn't possibly use violence. I am not the violent type. So why be afraid to come along and talk? Words are simple. They're cheap. But no, people will leave it until the last minute, hoping that I would soften the blow. Granted, some of those staff who have gone over there I have not named out. Not that I wouldn't have liked to, certainly. I have to bear in mind the fact that news is the thing. It has to be brought to you, and factually, that's what I have to do. That is my responsibility on this station. And from 1:30 until the time of 3:01, that has been news. Now this evening, for 1 hour only, I'm afraid, you'll have DJ Sylvie. As I said, the work she has been putting into this station has been enormous. On Tuesday morning last, I knew I could not go near the girl because the house would be watched, which it is. Her house is watched, this house is watched, whether we like it or not. Well, a young lad a couple of doors away will verify that. Perhaps if he is honest to himself, he would come down and admit to it. If he does, I'm unlikely to say anything except I'm sorry to hear that you were that way involved. I really am. There's nothing else I would do. I'm unlikely to be at the door with a shotgun to shoot everyone coming in. That's not my style. But the situation in the station's name. We met and we talked over the various points, the bits of information we had come up with. My time, of course, was mainly spent on one thing. The Radio Dublin transmitter attempting somehow, by some means, to repair the enormous amount of damage to it. I could hardly believe it myself. But even as yet, you will notice our quality is good, but the actual volume, no, it's not up to the standard it should be at. We will continue to work, and no doubt it will take perhaps another week before it is up fully. So onwards we must go, like a duck with a wounded wing. Hope that it will recover somehow or another. We just limp along, and we do hope for the support there of our listeners. Yes, judging by our letters in, most of them addressed personally to myself. Yes, I've read them all, yes. I get little time to answer some of them, I know that. I do beg your forgiveness there. There isn't time at the moment to actually answer letters, because there's so much else to do. If you do, bear with me on that. A telephonist or a receptionist to answer letters, we did have one, yes, but again, the fact of money being offered and a nice steady job in a place which amounted to a palace, yes, it is inviting. The temptation was there, and most of those staff have gone over. Now, a lot would blame them out there, but all you have to do is, will you put yourself in their position? If you're not too rich, maybe you're out of a job, you've just left school or something, and you're working in a little job, some little shop or something like that, and your wages are very small, perhaps you don't even get wages, you're just let work in the shop, and someone comes along to you, and he says, there's this beautiful place which is carpeted, you'll have lovely and nice hours, lovely working conditions, and you'd have nice wages, permanent, maybe you could get a pension out of it. It's going to be a long-term thing. What do you do? Well, now, be honest with yourselves. You would go, certainly. Most of you would go. So don't blame some of our staff who are quite young for going off to a station like that. Radio Dublin here, as I said, are not on the air to make money. Granted, we put out commercials. We don't send people around to the various places to seek out commercials. That isn't our style, I'm afraid. We don't have actual reps as such on the road. What we do is we wait on people to come along to us, or if they phone us to call out readverts, saying, yes,